Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for doing that. That means you're a highly intelligent individual. And I'm proud to introduce you to another highly intelligent individual. Paul Amos the second is Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Aflac. You know who that company is. They're the folks with the duck, and they're very proud of that duck, too, by the way. And Paul is here with some information. His company has conducted a survey recently that I think you're going to want to know more about. Paul, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. It's an honor to be a part of the Small Business Advocate, and we're very excited about the survey results we have and looking forward to having a conversation with you.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, and I appreciate you coming. You know, Paul, I travel around the country quite a bit talking to small business owners, and whenever I get a chance, I ask them, what keeps you up at night? What's the top thing, one, two, or three things in your world that wakes you up at night that you're always worried about, that you're always concerned about? And, Paul, the two things that's always one and two or two and one are finding and keeping good people, and the other one, which is not always, it's always one or two, both of these are, and the other one is providing health care and good benefits packages for their employees. And it's never, ever, the one and two answers are never capital, never customers, never a competition, never any of the other things. It's always finding good people and keeping them and providing benefits. And I'm curious to know how my anecdotal research compares to your formal research.
Well, you know, Jim, thank you for asking that. And the fact of the matter is our research points right to what you're feeling and right to what you're seeing in your informal interviews around the country. You know, we've got surveys that say 67% of small business owners report being concerned about a company's ability to provide a benefits package, and especially one that's going to attract and retain employees. You know, we have 63,000 agents as a company across this country, and on top of our survey, they're constantly doing informal interviews and seeing what small business owners today are concerned about. And I can tell you that, you know, the number one thing for them is attracting, retaining key people and really improving employee morale. Without a robust benefits package, sometimes employee paid, sometimes employer paid, it is very difficult to keep people, especially as the economy continues to improve and small businesses look to grow.
Well, and I think I've read your survey, and if I remember, you actually had people responded to your report on your survey on whether they paid the employees paid a large portion of the coverage or whether the employers paid that. So you had both sides of you had a pretty good cross section of respondents, didn't you?
We had a great cross-section of respondents, and the way we see it is whether it's paid for by the employer or the employee, it is ultimately their satisfaction comes from whether or not they're given the opportunity to get that coverage through the work site.
Right.
You know, originally we had thought that a person would only feel that satisfaction if the employer paid for it, but wonderful for our business and wonderful for everyone out there, and especially for the small business owner who's constantly focusing on his profitability and his ability to retain those people. We've seen that we can provide benefits to an individual where they pay for them fully as long as they're offered through the worksite, and that employee satisfaction continues to move in the right direction as a result.
One of the things that that small business owners have, and it's very interesting to me, Paul, to see the relationship between these two concerns, providing a good benefits package and finding and keeping good people. And I think you guys found this to be very tightly woven together, those two, in your survey. More and more small business owners have the ability to do two things in the 21st century that they didn't have as good much of an ability to do in the 20th century, and that is, one, compete more straight up with larger companies for business, and two, be more of a partner with larger businesses, not just a vendor, but more of a partner. And in order to do that, to take advantage of those 21st century opportunities, they've got to be able to pretty close to match the employee, their organization, with the organization of their larger customers and competitors.
I agree 100%. Well, I mean, we all know that small business is the woven fabric of what makes America, you know, what it is today, and continue to provide the American dream for each one of those people. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is if they're able, as you said, to compete on a national level and to compete with the large businesses in America. That's one reason you're seeing in insurance, especially individually underwritten insurance, the opportunity for people to be provided something at the same cost or the same rate as everyone else, whether it's the largest employer in America like Walmart or whether it's the smallest employer just around the corner. And, you know, that's something that is essential for all of us to see. You know, there are different group plans out there and different things that are being provided, but it is ultimately the balance that can be created through individually underwritten insurance that is going to help drive small businesses to compete on a national level.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. 20 till. I'm Jim Blastingame. We'll be right back with Paul Amos. Keep with Aflac. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7:16 till the hour. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you to those of you who have been visiting there and using it to your advantage. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. At least that's what many of you tell me when you go there, and I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. It's not like anybody else's blog, so check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget all the other resources that are there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I'd like to also mention another website. I'm going to get Paul Amos to help me out with this one. Paul Amos II, by the way, folks, is Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer of Aflac, and he is with us right now as our guest. Paul, Aflac is getting ready to, you actually have just launched a new website, haven't you?
That's right. We've just launched our Aflac SB website. We are going on a strong campaign to take a look at small business in America today and what we can do for them. We've realized that in a need, ever growing need for small businesses to compete on a national level, just as we were discussing before, we want to provide small business with the services, the finances, and ultimately the insurance that their employees need for total coverage in America today at the same wonderful discounts that we're able to provide it to everyone else, whether it's the largest employer or the smallest employer. And we want to help balance the playing field for everyone out there, and we believe we bring a lot of financial resources to the small business. And this new website will give them all types of information. Again, AflacSB.com.
All right. Well, I appreciate you making that available. And Paul, it makes me very happy to see more and more companies like yourself telling small business owners, you know what? We want you to buy our stuff. Obviously, that's why we're in business. You understand that, small business owners. But we also want to make sure that if you don't need our stuff today, that you're still in business next year when you do need to buy our stuff. And so what can we do to help? And a lot of companies are doing that. I congratulate, more and more are, and I congratulate you. Of course, you guys have always been focused on small business owners, but I'm glad that you're dedicating some real estate online to really helping small business owners with a lot of different areas, not just insurance.
Well, one of the interesting things that's happened and came back in our survey, we started as a small company, obviously, and we've continued to grow over time. But thanks to our duck advertising campaign, unfortunately, small businesses now see us as a big business, and they had lost sight of the fact that we were there for them, that they are ultimately the core competency in the group that we go after most of all. And so we're doing a campaign now to let them know that we have not lost sight of who our true core of our business is, and that Aflac SB really is our focus on letting them know that we're there for them.
Well, you guys didn't change, but one of the unfortunate byproducts of your successful, which was one of the most successful ad campaigns that anybody's ever seen in the history of the marketplace, that great success probably gave gave small business owners those opinions. And as I say, you guys didn't change. It's just that the way things worked out. But I'm glad that you're focusing on these things. I want to ask you, as you may know, small business health plans were defeated last week in the Senate, which I believe would have helped small business owners. But the good news is that even though those small business health plans, the association health plans are not available yet. There still are things small business owners can do to lower their health care costs, aren't there?
There absolutely is. You know, it is a sad thing that was defeated. And what I can tell you is that we all know that small business owners need help with their major medical and with their health plans. One of the things that they can do is offering supplemental products to their employees. You know, our survey goes back to say that 70% of small business owners ultimately become involved in the finances of an individual, especially with a major accident or illness. And one of the things we don't want is for small business owners to become the loan officers for their employees.
That happens all the time, Paul.
It truly does. You know, and our products are designed to provide cash to those employees to help them deal not only with the medical costs that insurance may not provide them, but also the non-medical costs, the lost wages, the things that are that may incur in their life that they weren't expecting as a part of that. And so we really want to take the business owner out of the loan business. We don't want it to hurt their profitability. And as we were discussing earlier, you know, retaining employees through a major accident or illness is a very important thing. Retraining costs can be one of the most expensive things that a business owner incurs, and we want to help them retain those employees during these difficult times and not incur the training costs that can ultimately hurt their profitability in the long term.
Well, and this all comes back. We can never get very far away, Paul, from this whole thing about finding and hiring good people. More and more today, there are two things going on, Paul. People who are looking for jobs are considering small business owners more than they ever have before. That's one. And number two, they're still holding small business owners somewhat responsible. They're still expecting them to provide them with the kind of benefits packages that would be comparable to the one that they would get with a big company. And so if we're going to compete for these top managers who want to come to work for small businesses, we've got to be more sophisticated. We've got to understand more about what's available to us. We've got to be able to provide these kinds of packages, and some of them some of them cost us money. Sometimes we have to spend some money on our employees, but there are ways to do it where it doesn't cost the small business owner as much as they might think, Paul, and you've got some ideas about that.
We absolutely do. You know, that's the beauty of our programs is that we don't ask the employer to spend any money. There can be a small incremental administrative cost, but in general, we and our team at Aflac are focused on asking the business owner to pass 100% of that cost along to the employee. And what we found, again, is that irrelevant to the fact that they are not paying it, the employee is paying 100% of it. The employee still sees the benefit, still appreciates the fact that it's happening. You know,
I have to stop you because we've got to go to a break. We've got to sell some things. Folks, when we come back, Paul has run a pretty significant sales organization in his career, very successfully, I might add. When we come back, we're going to get off healthcare for just a little bit and talk about what Paul has learned that will help you manage your sales organization. Right after these messages, Intel, I'm Jim Blastingame. I'll be right back with Paul Amos. He's with Aflac. Welcome back. It's 7-0. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Paul Amos II, Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer of Aflac U.S., and you know who Aflac is. They're the folks with the duck commercials, that really famous commercial. And Paul, I want to congratulate you on that, on the success of that campaign. If I'm not mistaken, Aflac as a brand is the most recognizable brand in the country. Am I right about that? Is that what the survey showed?
We are certainly closing up there. We have a 90%+ brand recognition, which puts us up there with names like Coca-Cola, and we've been fortunate enough that Fortune magazine's ranked us in the top 25 brands in America, and so we truly feel that when you achieve that height, you're up there. It's hard to tell who's number one.
Well, and you know, I know a little bit about the history of your company. Family-owned business for a long time, and came up, you know, started in, if I'm not mistaken, originated in Georgia and just grew and grew and grew over the last 30 or 40 years or so and to where it is right now, and it's a great success story, a great small business success story.
You're right. We chose Columbus, Georgia as our founding place for three reasons. The local government was willing to help us out as a small business. It was the largest city without an insurance company. And ultimately, it was a great place to raise a family. And so we settled here and began our small business. And the success story has taken off over the last 51 years.
Paul, you have managed a pretty significant and a very successful sales organization, and you've got small business owners listening to you right now who are struggling. They're trying to be more professional, managing their sales folks and growing their business through their sales organization. What words of wisdom would you have for small business owners right now as they manage their sales organizations?
Well, I divide my sales organization really into two aspects, Jim, managing the salespeople themselves. The key to my sales organization, the things I did were, number one, constant communication. I looked for the key motivating factors behind why all of my managers and individual salespeople had gotten into the business. Throughout their interview process and their career development, I really sat down with those individuals and figured out what their life goals were and then tried to design, a procedure for them succeeding in those goals. And as I looked at their ultimate motivation, whether it was financial or reward-based or really just recognition, it was essential for me to customize my goals and their goals and how we were going to achieve them through their motivations.
Give them your goals and say, here, go out and do this, and I'll make sure you got product training. I'll make sure that you understand the pricing structure, and, here's your expense account. You actually said, what do you want to get out of this, and what can I do to help you?
Absolutely. I found that just telling them what I needed them to do never achieved the results. What I ultimately had to do was sit down and figure out how could we mutually come together and work together to achieve our goals as a whole, both incentivizing them to achieve my goals and then helping incentivize them to achieve their own goals. And that collaboration really helped us succeed as a whole, and without that, I feel like we would have really missed the mark and not seen the successful growth that we did.
How often did you meet with your sales folks?
I had different levels of sales folks. We have somewhat of a hierarchical structure at Aflac, and I was on the phone with them every day, but we were spread out over several hundred miles, and so as a result, we met monthly for all-day meetings and then occasionally every other week for spot meetings for those individuals. But it really depended on their travel schedule as well as what they were. I spent a lot of time traveling out with them rather than having them always come to my office. I feel like it was essential to set an example and for me to be among them on a day-to-day basis and go out with them and show them that I was willing to do the job they do every day. And
you communicated, every salesperson communicated with their manager every day.
That's absolutely essential. We're in a commission-only environment, and when you have that, motivation is an easy thing to lose. And so without the overhead of salary, we felt like we needed to be in constant communication, constantly checking up. We've built a wonderful culture of not only working hard together, but continuing to build each other up and also enjoying extracurricular life together at Aflac.
Right.
And we feel like that's one of the fibers of our culture here. And so that communication is truly essential to keeping up all aspects of that culture.
Paul, we've got to wrap it up. We've run out of time. Will you come back another day? We'd like to talk
to you. I would love to, Jim. It's been an honor to be a part of the Small Business Advocate today.
Well, thank you very much. And give us that website again, the new one.
AflacSB.com.
Folks, check that out. It's brand new just for you, thanks to Aflac. Paul, thank you for making that available to small business owners, and we'll see you next time.
Looking forward to it, Jim.
Paul Amos, ladies and gentlemen, he's with Aflac. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.